listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put it in the fire and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the Lord, you can turn it down just a little bit, and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord said, among those who are near to me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called to Mishael and Elzaphan and the sons of Iziel and the uncle in front of the sanctuary of the camp. So they came near to him and they carried their coats out of the camp. And Moses said, hang and loose and do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let the brothers and the whole house of Israel bewail the burning of the Lord has kindled. Verse 7, "And do not go outside the entrance of the tent meeting, lest you die, for the anointing of the Lord is upon you." I'm going to say that again. The anointing of the Lord is upon you. And they did not according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink the wine or strong drink, nor your sons with you, when you go into the meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout generations." Verse 10, "You will be distinguished between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean." The title of this message tonight is Holy or Common. You can live either holy or common. Let's pray. Father, we just declare right now that your word is true and every man's a liar. Lord, we declare your word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Holy Spirit, we declare no spirit but your spirit is welcome in this place. Lord, I declare right now every single stronghold, I declare bondage, I declare affliction has to loosen its grip now in Jesus' name. We declare every demon, you have no permission. I declare generational curses, you are broken. I declare right now in this moment, I declare the spirit of deliverance is in this place. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Father, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying, hearts to receive, God, minds to understand. We declare, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone who loves the Lord said amen, amen and amen. I heard the Lord say, minister on holiness. Now, it's not often that you hear a message out of the book of Leviticus. This is the one that we bear getting through and we have to read when we're doing the 21-day challenge or the read the Bible in 9 months or whatever it is. Nobody's like, yes, I'm so excited. I'm getting to my daily Bible reading time and we're in Leviticus. And in fact, Leviticus is known as the law. And in fact, Leviticus is probably the most looked down on verse in the Bible. In fact, you probably hear on Facebook more than anything, we're not under the law. Usually someone is saying that when they want to promote sin. Usually when somebody doesn't want to tithe, we're not under the law. You mean what you mean is you're greedy. How could tithing be under the law when it was birthed 300 years by Abraham before Moses wrote the law? Jesus said in the New Testament, do what the Pharisees tell you to do, tithe. No. The problem is you don't, God's given you everything and you can't give him 10%. If anything, you're cheap and you use the AC in our buildings. Come on, somebody. Come on, be generous while you're in Bible college. You're the poorest you're ever going to be in your life. Come on, how many times are you going to be able to say, hey, I gave it all? It wasn't a lot, but I gave it all. Nobody likes Leviticus. Nobody preaches out of Leviticus. It's looked at, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Grace has become the popular word, and holiness has become the ugly stepsister. Holiness has become a word to describe your grandparents' fuddy-duddy church. Holiness is being used to describe legalism. Listen, holiness is not legalism. Holiness is Christ-likeness. But it's become so popular in this generation to wear skinny jeans, comb your hair a cool way, and preach on grace, and that's the fast track to ministry success. It's quiet in here. Tonight, I want to speak on holiness. It's not a popular message. It's not what's going to get invited for you to preach around the nation. But I believe it's God's heart for God's people in this hour. The book of Leviticus is the instructions for the priests and the pastors, or a guidebook for holy living. Now, if you're at CF&I, you're not at CF&I because you want to go in accounting one day. If you are, you're going to be the most spiritual accountant on the planet. You're at CF&I because there's oil here. You're at CF&I because the presence of God dwells. No, you don't come to CF&I because you want to go into politics. That's not what it's. This is known for sending ambassadors of Christ all over the world. Now, maybe you just came in here for a year to get right. Maybe you came in for a little dab. Maybe you just thought you came in for one reason, but God's going to alter your course. But I'm telling you, God lives here. I like being in here. With the stain on the carpet, I love it. You know someone got oil on them right there. There's something about this place. I like being in the place. Every time I come to Dallas, I always look by. There's CF&I right there. You can feel the presence of God. I run into people all over the world as I minister. I went to CF&I. Hey, I heard you were just at CF&I. I went there. I graduated. I met my wife there. We're both in ministry. I mean, I hear all the time. I got tons of texts this week from pastors all over the country saying, hey, we were there. One person texted me this week and said, hey, I proposed to my wife there. I was like, that's a little weird. I wouldn't have chose that. But hey, you know, it's his claim to fame. He liked it. What am I saying? Listen, there's oil here. There's the presence of God here. So most likely you feel a call to ministry at some way, shape, or form if you're here tonight. Leviticus was a book of the guidelines of pastors and ministers for holy living. See, Yahweh was removing his people from Egypt, but now he had to remove Egypt from his people. There wasn't a long list of rules because God wanted to see how well they can follow instructions. God was trying to get, watch, the DNA of the world out of them. God wasn't telling the children of Israel, hey, don't go into these other lands and don't go in the promised lands and don't go shack up with Philistines and Canaanites and Amorites and Hittites and all these things, because God was a controlling father. He was warning them, listen, if you get close to them, they're going to influence you and you're going to be like them. It's the same way that the world was destroyed because of the flood. The giants ruled the land. And instead of the people facing the giants, they joined the giants, kind of like America today. This was the state of the children of Israel. Look at, they just left years of slavery. They just left this slavery mindset. Hundreds of years they were in bondage. And God said, I need to get the DNA of the world out of you. And I need to give you heaven's DNA, which is righteousness and holiness. This is what I need to put into you. This was the process of Leviticus. This was the rules. God was identifying, hear this, young people, if you're taking notes, God was identifying who he was. There is an identity of holiness, and it's not popular in the world, in the church today. It's a cringed at word. It's a word that's looked down on. Everybody does not like the word holiness, but there's a problem with it. It's the word that God uses to describe himself. How can you not like the word that God uses? Listen, no word can begin to describe God but holy. Watch. And there's no word that you can use that will even come close. See, for some reason, we've taken the identity of holiness off God, and we need to repent from it. Come on, somebody help me out. God the Father. Some of those first years, you're jumping quick, 2 weeks into it. God the Father. Come on, you know him as the Father. He's Abba. He's a good, good Father. We love singing this song. We've cried to it 100 times. As soon as they play that first note, a tear just kind of just starts all the way down. He's a good Father. He's Father, he's Papa, he's Abba, he's Father God. No matter what you came from, if you had the worst father in the world, if you were abandoned, no matter what you've been through, he's Father. He's the Good Samaritan's Father who's chasing back after you even before you turn back and come to him. He's already turned after you. The heart of the Father is towards you. It's why I wrote my book. The subtitle is The Heart of the Father. I asked the Lord, I prayed into it for a year, James. I asked the Lord, give me your heart for this book. Give me your heart for this book. Give me your heart for this book. Every day for a year. It was the same year that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to do nothing but preach on righteousness for a year. That was popular. 2014, just preach on righteousness. He said, Landon, don't write books. Don't do television shows. Don't do prophetic conferences. Don't do anything. Just preach on righteousness. People were like texting me, for real, Pastor Chris. They're like, you okay? You're tweeting about righteousness every day. Then the people are like, is he going to run out of scripture? You know, no one's talking about righteousness. That's from my man right here. Nobody's talking about righteousness. For an entire year, do you know there's over 1,000 scriptures on righteousness? And the funny thing is all the scriptures on righteousness, we don't realize they have righteousness in them because we've taken righteousness out of them. So we say stuff like, yeah, the wealth of the wicked's laid up for us. No, it's not, homie. It's laid up for the righteous. Or we say, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Nope, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added. Because you can't obtain the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. You can't obtain the kingdom without attaining righteousness. I asked the Lord, I said, why is everybody removing righteousness from scripture? And he said, because they've removed it from their lives. I asked the Lord, I said, give me your heart. I was on the treadmill running one day, try not to be fat. I told you your 30s are great, but you need to run a little bit more. And I'm on the treadmill and I'm running and I said, Father, give me your heart. And I heard him speak to me and say, I already gave it to you. And he showed me a vision of the breastplate of righteousness. The Lord gave me his heart for the gay community even before I asked him for it because he said, preach righteousness for a year because it's the DNA of heaven. Listen, he's a good father. And we all know Jesus. Oh, I just like saying his name. We all know Jesus. Jesus is the Son. He's the Son. He's the Savior. Everyone's like, phew, no test yet, but I'm doing good. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus. And then we say the Holy Spirit. And we move on. We hope no one locks us in a back room and tries to get us to speak in tongues. Come on, somebody. The Spirit is the stepchild of the church today. We have Spirit-filled churches that embarrassed of a move of the Spirit. They're Spirit-filled in doctrine, they're Spirit-filled in theology, but they're not Spirit-filled in practice. Let me just warn you guys. Listen. Do not leave CFNI without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this place. I'm amazed how many pastors go into ministry and you can't hear from God because you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't go into ministry until you get the gift. But today we're starting churches and not Spirit-filled. Woo! That's scary stuff. But what we do is we considered the Spirit speaking in tongues, and we don't understand. You got to have a you can't prophesy. You can't speak in tongues unless you have a prophet to interpret it. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do this. Or that died off with the prophets. Or if God wanted me to have the gift, he would give it to me. That's brilliant. So knock, seek, ask, and you'll be given. He's a good father, loves to give gifts generously. But if he wanted you to have it, he would just give it. Because I'm pretty sure the entire gospel is full of people that desperately desired a touch from God and would not let go of Jesus until they got it. Listen, it's not just the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is the word that describes the Spirit of God. Jesus is not here. I might go over a little weird for some people who see visions all the time. He said, I'm leaving you my Spirit. Look it, when you're talking to God, you're hearing the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and I. Look at that is the Holy, someone say holy. Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of the living God. Every single time we declare the word Spirit, every time you sing it, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit more than anything in the world. Listen, I would not be in ministry today if I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Hear me, young people. I'm not talented. I can't sing. I'm moderately looking. I have no special gifting. There's nothing great about me. The only thing I've done since I was 15 years old is hear a whisper from the Holy Spirit and repeat it. Listen, people call me prophet. I don't feel like a prophet. You know what I feel like? I just a listen translator. And if I don't lean in, I'm not going to hear. Hey, pastors call me. They're like, hey, we're so excited. You're coming in 2 months from now. What are you going to be preaching on? I'm like, bro, I have no idea. I'm going to be preaching 10 times before I get to you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lean in. Come on, everybody, just lean in. Come on, lean in. Come on, lean in. And when you lean in, listen, you start hearing that whisper. You know what you're hearing? You're hearing the Holy Spirit. It's not your conscience. Listen, it's not a tuition, intuition. This is the Holy Spirit. And when you know who the identity of that third person is, it's a game changer. Hear this. His identity is holy. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that day and night in heaven, the angels are declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, day and night. Watch, even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name. Please throw the scriptures up as I quote them. It's a part of the Lord's Prayer. Hear it. Is the first thing you should do when you pray is not ask for your tuition. We're not beggars. The first thing that you should do is declare his holiness. I dare you to stand to your feet and just declare right now, you're a holy God. Watch the atmosphere change in this room. Somebody just declare, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. Come on, Father, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Spirit of the living God, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Jesus, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Sit down. You start declaring he's holy before you pray, atmospheres will change. Hear me, youth pastors, youth majors, you start declaring he's holy before you go and have youth ministries. Watch what happens in your service. You start declaring he's holy before you go out and evangelize. Watch what happens that night. I'm telling you, because he recognizes his name. Greg, will you come here? Greg. Oh, his name's Jeff, so he's not going to respond to Greg. What's up, Jeff? You don't have to come here, Jeff. I'm using it as illustration. Watch. You can sit down, Jeff. I appreciate your readiness. Watch. He looked at me like, we hung out in San Francisco together. He's like, you talking to me? Let me ask you, what spirit are you talking to? You want the Spirit of God to respond? Know his name. Know his identity. Know his presence. I love words in songs that say holy. They're my favorite songs. He says in Leviticus 10:10, put it up on the screen, please. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. That word holy in the Hebrew means this: the most holy, or to be set apart. Let me ask you this question. Does his holiness reflect his presence in your life? Do you reflect the holiness of the Spirit of God? I want to make this so clear. The experience that you're chasing after, when you're looking for a tangible presence of God, that's when his Spirit walks in the room. That's when his Holy Spirit ascends. Those of you that are mature, you'll feel it in services at times. You'll be worshiping, and then either someone will go somewhere in worship or in prayer, or corporately it happens, and there's a shift in the place. A lot of times I'll feel a physical chill or a goosebump come over me. Anyone else know what I'm talking about? When you feel his, and all of a sudden you'll stop and be like, he's here. He's here. It's the most holy moment. It's the most holy thing, and it's set apart. The word holiness, if you're taking notes, write this down. It means to be set apart. That's hard in a generation, listen, that wants so badly to fit in. It's hard to be intimate with the Holy Spirit when you so badly want to be in crowds. God doesn't speak to crowds. He speaks to individuals. Listen, to be holy means that you set yourself apart for intimacy with him only. See, you cannot be intimate with the world and intimate with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Are you here? See, it's so challenging. I had a young man come. I was doing a camp in Washington last week, and he came up to me and he just said, "Man, I just feel so lonely right now. I just, you know, I need a small group or I need you know some kind of support group." And I just looked at him and I said, "No, you don't. Be lonely. Let me just speak to you, Bible college students, Bridal College, Bible College." I was like, "Hey, my friend proposed here." You're like, "That's a word for me. That's a word for me." Be lonely. Or let me rephrase it like this. Be set apart. Listen, we're so afraid of being lonely, not enough friends, not enough people, worried about the world thinks, how many followers do I have? Did so-and-so like my tweet? Can I get attention? Can I get noticed? Listen, if you're trying to get noticed by man, you're not trying to get noticed by God. God speaks to those that are set apart. Listen, good things happen when you're set apart. When Moses was set apart, he came back on fire and released the children of Israel through their exodus. When Elijah was set apart, he came back and confronted Jezebel and 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and fire fell from heaven. When Jesus was set apart, he came out of the wilderness and confronted Satan to his face. See, when Esther was set apart for a season, she came out and stood in front of the king to declare, "If I perish, I perish." When John the Baptist was set apart, he came and confronted the kings of his generation. Listen, you're not going to confront kings or giants like David if you're afraid to be lonely in a field. From about 18 to 20 years old, I had no life. I had no friends. Literally, I would spend my Friday nights in my office singing four notes to an old Delirious song. If you don't know who Delirious was, like the first worshipers like band ever. And I don't even know what song it was, but I had a piano player say, "Hey, show me those four notes." And I'd go in my office and I'd play those four notes and I would worship till I couldn't worship anymore. I'd literally pray until I fell asleep. I would read till nothing made sense on the page anymore. And that was my social life. I remember before I had a youth church of 900 students, I'd go into this field and I'd literally preach in this outdoor amphitheater to nobody. That was before social media. And if we had social media back in the day, we'd be like, "Hey, I'm here with nobody preaching. Look at me." Come on, somebody. We're so afraid to be set apart when that's the place we experience His holiness. That's the place where we experience His presence. He said, you can either be set apart. You can either be holy. Watch. Or you could be common. See, you're either holy or you're common. What does it mean to be common? It means this. The difference between holy and common, what was separating between the precious and the vile. The common was the stuff that was after the flesh. The things that had no relationship with the Spirit. Listen, it's holiness versus everything else. It's holiness or whatever is in general use. Hear me, this is a prophetic word, a prophetic warning for you CFNI Bible College students. You could either have a relationship with the Holy Spirit or you could be common like everybody else. You could either have a relationship with the Spirit of God or live plain, common lives. Your dorm room can either be a temple or it could be just as common as any other apartment. I'm believing tonight that addictions break off you and no more demonic distractions or entanglements to keep you from what God has called you to do in this earth. Listen, in Leviticus 10:10, God is talking to ministers, and two ministers just performed an unqualified offering, and they dropped dead on the spot. And God said, you must distinguish between the holy and the common. He's giving them principles to live by. He's giving them principles. This is how you walk with me. Listen, this is how you walk and live with me. This is how you commune with me. See, what we want to do is we want to be kind of involved with ministry, but still engage in our flesh. But it's easy because we see worship leaders on TV that can get three or four divorces in the course of 5-10 years, and how pastors turn in wives like they do cars. You wouldn't even know the difference between a pastor and someone in the world. Or what youth pastors are preaching on Wednesday and struggling with lust on Friday. There's no difference. And you say, where's the power? Where's the miracles? Where's the signs? Where's the wonders? You're asking the wrong question. Where's the holiness? I'm telling you, holiness is the key. Listen, you could either live, hear me, young people, holy lives, or you could live common lives after the flesh. You could either chase any girl that will look at you this year like you would anywhere else, or you can live holy lives knowing the Lord is going to provide every one of your needs. You can either live common lives or holy lives. You can live after the flesh or after the Spirit. Those are your two options. And the battle is won by the one you feed the most. So many people say, you know, this sounds like a judgmental word. There's nothing judgmental in this. It's kind of you're kind of being harsh. No, I'm being passionate. Well, there's grace, yes, but don't preach grace to me without preaching truth. Because grace without truth is just deception. Jesus was full of grace and together. He saw a woman about being stoned by Pharisees, and he said, he without first a sin cast the first stone. That was grace. Then he looked her out of the face and said, go and sin no more. He didn't tell her, hey, it's cool. You're under grace. Go do whatever you want. Go be happy. I get this all the time from gay activists and gay affirming. Your speech is hateful. No, it's not. It's loving. This is what God's word says love is. God's word defines love. It's not a feeling. Your description of love is jacked up. Because you use the same word to describe a hamburger, a movie, or a pop star as you do your God. God doesn't describe love as a feeling, because Jesus died for us when he didn't feel like it. Listen, God uses one word to describe love, obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. I had a guy tell me on Facebook one time, he said, if Jesus came down on a white horse and said, it's okay to be gay, would you believe him? I was like, absolutely. But that's not what he did. Listen. All of us are tempted. All of us have struggles. All of us are working out our own salvation. But watch, you can either handle it like common or you can fight it with the Spirit. Listen, there's this lie in the church today that you can live how you want and there's grace for you and you can do whatever you want and you're still cool with God. And we love quoting what I just quoted in Romans. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's true. But he loved you before you knew him. And you weren't in relationship with him then either. Are you hearing me? He'll never stop loving you. But your behavior will determine the intimacy of the relationship. Watch. He's a holy God set apart. Come on, get this today. He's not common. Are you hearing me? He is not a common God. He's a holy God. If the band could come back up. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among thee and be separate. Hear this, Bible college students. You're not called to live common lives. You're not called, listen, to have common relationships. You're not called to go to a common school. This is not a common school. This is not a common place. You're not called to have common social media. You're not called to have common ministry. You are called to be set apart. I believe this is a prophetic call for the student body of Christ for the Nations. There's a choice in front of you. That this could be a common year or it could be a holy year. This could be a year of the flesh or it could be a year of miracles. It could be the year of self or it could be the year of supernatural. Romans 15:16 says, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I bring you good news. That I might present you as acceptable offering to God. Look what it says. Made holy by the Holy Spirit. The identity of holiness is revealed in what is set apart. Steve, hand me that shofar. If you don't know what this is, it's called a shofar. You typically don't see ministers under 100 talk about these. Typically, what you perceive to be some weirdo that has a banner in one hand and a shofar in the other. But most of us live common lives. This is a shofar is what they call it. You can start playing whatever song you guys had ready. They would take these. And these were instruments of war. The shofar is what was blown going into battle and when victory was won. The shofar, hear this, was a weapon of God. When they blew the shofar, Jericho came down. When they blew the shofar and shouted, the enemies of God turned on each other and began to fight each other in confusion. When they blew the shofar, angels of war began to fight on Israel's behalf. A young generation can mock and scoff and laugh at somewhat of an odd individual. Or you could come in line with God's weapon of war. In my book, I list 5 elements of deliverance. And what I mean by this is, how do you physically walk in deliverance.
I don't want to hear a sermon about it. I want to know, what do I physically do when demons attack me? And I give you five elements in the book. One of them is called the Shabbat shout. Most people aren't familiar with that phrase. The Shabbat shout is when your spirit goes before your natural body and you shout with the spirit leading the way. It's not yelling. It's not screaming. It's a shout of the spirit. Now, those that aren't set apart can't do this shout, because this Holy Spirit has to go before you. Listen, deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. The Shabbat shout is the shout of deliverance. It's the shout of warfare. One time I was in a service with a Jewish rabbi. And I'm telling you, Pastor Chris, I felt the waves of the glory. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you literally feel the waves. And I turned to the rabbi and I said, "What was that?" And he said, "That was the Hebrew's blessing." He said, "If you ever do that and blow a shofar, watch the glory fall." I didn't do anything for years. When I was spent 3 years praying into this book, I was grieved because I said, "Lord, this generation doesn't have deliverance. This generation is not living holy. They're living common. They're bound. There's not much of a difference between a Bible college student and a frat party. Lord, there has to be a difference. We got to walk in your deliverance." And he said, "Look at the Shabbat." I started praying into this. This is a spiritual response to warfare in the spirit. Hear this, young people. You cannot fight spiritual things in the flesh. I remember I was 18 years old. And I was driving, I was praying, I was on fire like many of you. And I said, "You know what, devil? F you." But I said the granddaddy. I said it. The real it. You know, really spiritual. Got to really get down in warfare. I heard an audible voice out loud in my car say, "Do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you can do about it." This church boy burst in tongues, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost till I got home, turned every light in the house on. I laid on my floor and prayed in the Holy Spirit. The Lord showed me a vision, and there was a forest fire all around me, and I had a bow and an arrow, and I was shooting flames, fiery darts, into the forest fire. And the Holy Spirit said, "You can't use the enemy's weapons against him." The Lord started teaching me about the shofar. The shofar is what breaks that anxiety and confusion off you. You don't need a doctor to give you medication. You need to engage in spiritual warfare. I'm driving in my car in Phoenix. And we just had two miscarriages. My wife calls me and said, "Landon, we're pregnant again." And I said, "That's awesome, babe. I'm going to a meeting. I gotta go. We'll talk later." And I pretended to be excited, but I wasn't excited because I was afraid. And the moment I hung up, I heard an audible voice out loud that was identical to the one in my car at 18 years old. And the voice said, "You know you're going to lose this one too." And I pulled my car on the side of the road. And with everything in me, I began to Shabbat shout. And I started to declare that the child in my wife's womb was a prophetess to her generation. I started declaring that she would live and not die. Put the picture of my daughter back up. This little girl, last Sunday, told him her mom, I don't want people to go to hell. And she made 5 hearts that said, you need to know Jesus, and went to a mall and passed them out on a treasure hunt. Listen, listen, listen. The enemy wants you to sit back and take it. The enemy wants you to remain in confusion, to remain in bondage, to remain in generational curses. I've come to call you out of commonality, listen, and call you out of the flesh, and call you into a season for the next year to be set apart that's not common, but that's holy before the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or